This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, October 28, 2020. The Feast of St. Simon and Jude by Father William Doc Holliday.
He chose from them 12 whom he named apostles. In the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, we accept it in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redemption. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I will generally take days like this and pick something very, very specific and detailed of which to speak. And I don't want to do just the opposite. I want to do an overview of Saints Simon and Jude, because we don't know much about them. But what we do know, and the traditions they hold, they actually come from a foundation of that we need to understand about how they related to our Lord and how they have related to us in the communion of the saints. The first one, St. Jude. It has to be horrendous to have a name that is associated with the worst of the worst. Jude is the way we present him because we don't want him to be confused with Judas, although that was his name. It would be like in 1930s, 1940s Germany, after the war, to have been named Adolf. It just doesn't work. It's actually a prohibition for a priest to baptize a child with a name that is scandalous to the church. For instance, if somebody came in here and said, oh, I've named my little boy Lucifer. And guess what? You're going to rethink this because he's not going to be baptized in that name. You can't do it. It's horrendous to do something like that. Although, unfortunately, in our day and age, it happens. I won't get into the details, but some priests don't pay attention to that. But that is a rule. You don't baptize children under a scandalous name. Judas the saint, not Judas the traitor, is such a person who was branded with something that was not his fault, but due to circumstances, that name is shunned. You notice Judas, you know, if you look at Judas the traitor, if you look at iconography, he never has a halo on. If you have a picture of the Last Supper, all the other apostles have halos or rather had. Judas does not, because we don't pay any attention to him as the one who betrayed our Lord. But St. Jude, St. Judas, that's another reason that we use his Greek name in a lot of our liturgy, for instance, Thaddeus. When you hear the word Thaddeus, that's who we're talking about, St. Jude. They don't even like Jude. So we have to appreciate the fact that this man dealt with stigma because of his name. This is where we get the tradition of Judas, St. Jude, being the saint of lost causes. He's a saint of lost causes because what happened in his life where he was a... It didn't happen in his life. It happened way after his death. It happened as a result of Catholic tradition. People were so weirded out, so to speak, by the fact that his name was Jude, that they didn't want to pray to him. They didn't want to ask his intercession over things. So if you prayed to other saints and you didn't get an answer, the last saint that you prayed to was St. Jude. St. Judas. Hence, he was the saint of lost causes. No other saint has come across for me. So if somebody was on their deathbed, last gasp of air, there's something really horrible was happening, you lit a candle to St. Jude because that was the last hope. He's the last saint. I haven't asked him yet. So, and he came through a lot of the... Hence, this is why he is the saint of lost causes, hopeless causes. we have to appreciate that he has even overcome after his death into being placed in a niche where our Lord needed someone to stand in that breach, someone to be there for people who thought their case was absolutely hopeless. The last person I'm going to pray to, St. Jude. And that's what he does now. I appreciate that. He is our saint of last resort. He is the one for hopeless causes because our Lord has used him for that. This is what our Lord does. He will use very, very bad circumstances in our lives, the lives of others, to do for us good. That is why he is so glorious and he is so gracious and he is so merciful that even when something seems completely bad to us, our Lord will use it for good. The St. Joseph story from the Old Testament. Sell your brother into slavery, talk about killing him, and you meant it for evil, but the Lord used it for good. The Lord, if we will allow, will use everything for good. St. Jude. St. Simon. It's interesting to see, just in doing a little bit of research today and looking around and meditating upon the lives of these two men. St. Simon, we hear from Scripture that he was called Simon the Zealot. There's a couple ways you can look at that. One, he could have been very zealous for our Lord, or he could have been a member of a Jewish sect that was known for being so zealous that they would resort to violence. It really doesn't matter which one it was, because he wound up being a saint, and nobody that was prone to violence could be considered among the saints. So we have to appreciate the fact that Simon should be known as a zealot. It bothers me tremendously that in the modernist world, I actually read a commentary today like that. People should know that our Lord doesn't need zealots. Oh, our Lord needs and demands zealots. We are to be zealous for the faith. He wants people with zeal. He does not want lukewarm. He'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. In the book of Revelation, he said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. It is unfortunate that our day, but a lot of people relish in lukewarm, middle ground, via media. No, he will not have that. He wants zealous people. Saint Simon the Zealous. Zeal is a virtue. Zeal is a virtue. It was a virtue in St. Simon's case. It must be a virtue for us. We must be zealous for the faith. Now, when we talk about it, can't be a zeal that is unchecked, like that Jewish sect, you know. It has to be a virtue that is joined with prudence. A lot of virtues are like that. We must join our virtues with prudence. You know, it doesn't matter what the fruit of the Spirit might be, what blessings you have, they have to be used with prudence. The Lord may bless you, for instance, very, you know, tremendously with material possessions. You must be prudent in the way you use them, or they can be your downfall. We must be prudent in everything we do. Zeal is one of those things. A zealous soul, when it is joined with prudence, is provocative. It provokes. We don't like that word. It'll provoke anybody. We're supposed to. That's our job in this world. To provoke people who don't believe in Jesus Christ to believe in Jesus Christ. We are to provoke people to do that. Well, they're, you know, we do not approach them. Well, I'm okay, they're okay, they believe in this, they're searching for God in their own way. No, they must be provoked. We are supposed to provoke them. And our Lord Jesus Christ, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. St. John the Baptist is precursor. Same words, repent. There was zeal there that was tempered with prudence, and it was lovingly to provoke others to consider the things of God through their words and their actions. Okay, this is what we are supposed to do. This is why we live the life of faith that we're supposed to live, because we have a zeal. Do we not read the New Testament that we should have a zeal for the house of God? He's not talking about some four walls somewhere where we go every Sunday. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the house of God. He is the church. He is the mystical body of which we are parts. We must be zealous for him. Religious zeal. has, again, as I said before, unfortunately, obviously, come to be misunderstood as something negative. It is not negative. It's negative if you don't have zeal for the Lord. Kind of weird. This is another weird thing. It seems like in our day and age, you know, even in the church, oh, you can have a lot of zeal for things like, you know, the earth, you know, no pollution, all that. You have a zeal for immigration. You have a zeal for all kind of things. But we don't want to be zealous for telling people that they need to believe in Jesus Christ and that salvation is through Him and Him alone. Although that's the gospel. The other things for which we have zeal are not. We must be zealous for the gospel of the cause of Christ. This zeal is what is positive. It is an intentional thing for us as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. An intentional disciple, one who lives a practical Catholic life, understands zeal in its historical sense, like St. Simon and St. Jude. When we look at these men, martyred, not only were they zealous for the faith in talking about it, they were zealous to the point where they gave their life for the faith. They were zealous for our Lord Jesus Christ in His truth alone, His truth exclusively. This is where we need to be. We need to be zealous for our Lord and not for fads, not what is a vogue thing amongst the people of the world, but for Jesus Christ and Him alone for all time. And as I said before, when you have a zeal like this, it is provocative. It's a provocative form of love. Because if we didn't care about other souls, we would let them stay adrift in a world where they are not going to have any type of safe haven in this world of tumult. We must provoke them into coming into the safe harbor that is the Catholic Church. This is zeal. It is a form of love. It's not a talked about love. It's a love that is exhibited, a love that is lived, a love that is manifest to other people by being zealous for the things of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is St. Simon and Jude. Kind of interesting that even after death, St. Jude has been spiritually zealous for the cause of Christ, even getting kind of what we would consider the short end of the stick as to how he's been approached. But nonetheless, people need in this life someone to approach when things seem hopeless. This is the zeal that our Lord Jesus Christ desires from us, a zeal that has been lived as by others as an example for us. So have that zeal. Provoke others, but temper it with prudence in order that it may be a provocation, as I said, of love in the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.